Testament. Thank you. It is a blessing to be here today and enjoyed our day. Had a nice fellowship this afternoon. And what a blessing to see each of you here tonight. Let you open your Bibles up this evening to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. If you were in Sunday school, we looked at the 15 different verses, 16 different times that the word revive or revival occurs in the scriptures in our English Bible. And this evening, we're going to look at the first occurrence a little bit more in detail tonight. Genesis chapter number 45. And look at this here this evening. And asking God to do some good things this week. Amen. And I know that we have schedules. I know that we're busy. I know that life presses us forward and onward and all those things. But I was in Zimbabwe four and a half weeks ago. We were there. We had scheduled the trip to go into the country there. I'd spent a long time since I'd visited the missionary there. The last time I tried to go to Zimbabwe, the Lord told me not to go, but I wanted to go anyhow. And so I loaded up my vehicle, and we left about 3 o'clock in the morning, had a couple of my kids with me and a couple of other folks from the young men from the church there. And we're driving down the road, and I'd been wrestling with it for like a week. Why, God? I want to go to Zimbabwe. I want to go preach up there. I have friends up there. And the Lord kept troubling my heart and saying, no, don't go to Zimbabwe. And so I put my fleece out there and said, Lord, if I'm not supposed to go to Zimbabwe, give me a flat tire. And so we stopped for breakfast about 6 o'clock and grabbed something to eat. And then we left that little place there and got some fuel. And we got about 30 minutes down the road, and the back tire came off the vehicle. And I'm driving about 120 kilometers, all right, an hour, not miles. And that thing flew, and we slid. And praise the Lord, we were right there. There was somebody there that was able to help us get the vehicle back up out of the ditch and in the road. And I said, okay, God, I got your message. I shouldn't go to Zimbabwe. I laughed later. I said, you know, I asked for a flat tire. Somebody said, why didn't God give you a flat tire? Because he knows me. I'd have just changed it and said it was an accident and kept driving, you know. But when the tire came off, I said, okay, Lord, I'm not supposed to go. Somebody said, why did you not supposed to go to Zimbabwe? I don't know. I just know God didn't want me to go at that time. And I was trying to get out of his will. And then God stopped me. And I'm grateful that he did. But I longed to go back and kept praying. And then about a year ago, the Lord kind of gave me that assurance again. And so the missionary there, he'd already been asking me, when are you coming? He'd been asking me for a while. And I said, I'm coming this year up to Zimbabwe. And I said, I'll be able to come up sometime in March. And so we got all excited. He said, well, we need a family conference. There's 3 churches up there. He said, we'll do it in 2 of the churches. 3 days here, 3 days here. We'll invite everybody to come. And he said, so that's what I want you to speak on is the home, the marriage, children. He said, that's what we really need. And so we scheduled all of that. And then I was down preaching further south in Africa at another meeting when the news came across about that hurricane or cyclone, as they would call it. And it went right into that region, across Mozambique. And it hit what in the area of Zimbabwe was called Chimanimani. And we were going to be in the Chipinge district, which is right directly below Chimanimani. And so I wasn't able to get a hold of the missionary right away. Finally, just the day before we're supposed to leave, I was able to connect with him. Their internet was out, phone was out. And he said, well, the roads are all closed. You can't get in. And he said, I don't know if you should come or not. And I said, well, the Lord wants me to come this time, so we're going to go. And praise the Lord, the time we got to the road that had washed away, they were able to plow through it with some heavy equipment. And we were able to get into the area. And boy, a lot of devastation, not right there in Chipinge where we were at, although they did have no water. A lot of trees down, things like that. We did a lot of physical work the first couple of days there, just clearing trees and things out of the yards. But we were able to take supplies up into the village areas and things for even some of the aid agencies because we had the ability to. That's where I got that $10 a gallon diesel at, you know. And so interesting things. But we had the conference scheduled, and I told the missionary, I said, now, do you think people are going to come? They've just been through a hurricane. People are working, their yards are a mess, their houses are a mess. I mean, we went up in one area called Daisy Hill, and when your houses are built out of mud bricks and you get, you know, a foot of rain, your house has a tendency to go down the road, all right? And but the good news is you got plenty of building material because you got mud, right? And that's what they were doing. They were making bricks as fast as they could out of that mud. And because obviously once the mud dries up, you got to haul water, right, and make mud. So they were rebuilding their houses And he said, no, let's go ahead and have it. And, you know, the people came. The first night of the family conference, the building was just packed out. One of the husbands was able to bring his wife, and she'd been coming to the church, but she wasn't saved. And she got saved that night, and it was a great blessing. And it just reminded me that we do what we want to do. And those people wanted to be there. And so in spite of cyclones and no running water, all the water they had to go get at a well someplace and carry it, or they had to go down the creek and get water, lots of difficulties. They said, we're going to be in the house of God. So the church people were there. It was an amazing thing. And we had a great conference in both places. And so I just encourage you, I understand life, and there's many things that take place in life. But don't make the wrong choice. If you have an opportunity to choose, say, you know what, I want to be in my church, participating with what God is doing. And that would be a blessing to your family and to your life, not because of the preacher, but because of this book right here. Because it's God's word. And so pray this week. If you're not able to be here, I hope as a believer in a family of God that you would pray much, that God would work, and that God would be among us. And you would go ahead and get a hold of the audios and listen to them and ask God to speak in your heart so that in the weeks to come, you're not missing part of what God was trying to do in your family and in your church. And I believe those things are very important. So let's read our verses here tonight. Genesis chapter number 45. We pick up the reading, verse number 25. It says, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And I know I'm jumping into the end of a huge story tonight when Jacob's sons had been to Egypt and they had finally discovered Joseph alive and they're coming back to tell their father that story. It says in verse 26 that they told Jacob, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. The Bible says, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, and this is our text for this evening, or our thought, it says, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let's pray, and then we'll look into this evening. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for your great help tonight. Lord, we recognize that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we don't need to hear the wisdom or the intellect or the words of an individual. But God, we need to hear from your spirit tonight. Lord, we know that you're able to. Father, speak to every believer internally because you dwell there. And so God, I pray you would prompt as you're able to. Father, I do pray tonight if somebody here is lost and without you, that you would convict them from the outside. And Lord, they would realize the great need they have of being born again. And Father, I pray you would revive us, you would stir us. Lord, because we live in a world today that needs to know the message of salvation. And Father, we're going to come in contact with people. We're going to face battles. We're going to face temptations. And Father, if the Spirit of God inside of us is quenched or grieved, Father, we will not walk the way you would want us to walk. And so help me to say your words the way you want them. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to ponder for just a few moments about that statement of the Spirit of Jacob, their father, reviving. So that means that it was not revived. That means that the spirit of Jacob was lying in a, we might say, a dormant state or an inactive state. It wasn't in his life the way it should be until this moment in his life. And it's very interesting, even the wording of the scriptures, how that if you understand that Jacob and Israel, the same man, different names representing different evidences of God in his life. Jacob was the trickster. Israel was the man that had power with God. And it's always interesting to me when you read the scriptures how God very carefully calls him Jacob at certain times, Israel at other times. Now notice the text again. Before his spirit is revived, the Bible says, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. In the very next verse, what does God say? Verse 28. And Israel said. He was back now to who he was supposed to be. He was back to the believer, or if we might use that word, the position that God had for him. Now, how did all of this happen? Go back to Genesis chapter number 37 for just a moment this evening. Because we find the events of Genesis chapter number 37 that took place in the life of Jacob. If you remember, he had a son named Joseph. He had many sons, but his son Joseph was his favored son. And the brothers had sold him off in slavery, and the brothers had taken the coat of Joseph and killed an animal, and they dipped it in the blood, and they sent it with the servants into their father. And when he saw the coat, great grief came upon his life. Let's pick up the reading in Genesis chapter number 37. Let's begin reading verse number 29. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And notice the wording here again. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt, into Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and the captain of the guard. This was approximately maybe 20 years before the events that we read in Genesis chapter number 45. And from this day, almost 20 years, maybe a little bit longer, Jacob lived without, we might say, the presence of God. Jacob lived in an unrevived state. Until the moment we read in Genesis chapter 45 when they came to him and said, "Joseph is yet alive." His spirit revived, and once again, his name is Israel. I wonder tonight in our lives if we've experienced what Jacob experienced. Because you see, tonight, God wants every single one of us. If you are a believer, I'm speaking to people tonight that would say, "I am a child of God. There was a day in my life when I was born again, when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I'm going to heaven. Whether I die or Jesus returns, I'm going to be with him forever. I know that. Amen." I hope that you know that tonight. If that is the case in your life, then God has a purpose for your life. The moment that you got saved, I could say that God gave you a new name. Amen. We sing the song, "There's a new name written down in glory." Now, I'm not worried about what that name is, but the fact is your old man is now to be dead, and you are to walk in the newness of life. And you know, I think when people first get saved, that happens. When people first get saved, it's like the joy of salvation. And boy, they're just living for God and they're enjoying the Christian life. They're having a great time. But then life comes back to us, all right? Things begin to happen. And if we're not careful, we can quench or grieve the Spirit of God that is inside of us. And that's exactly what we have illustrated here in the life of Jacob, is he went from being Israel, a man that had power with God, to one that was quenched and grieved with the Spirit of God and just living the Jacob life. Just living the life of the world. And you know, that can happen to all Christians. Can happen to me as a preacher. Can happen to you as a Sunday school teacher. Can happen to you as a musician. Can happen to you as someone that serves in the church. You can just be going through life fulfilling your basic duties but not walking in the Spirit. The question that was brought out tonight about Jesus Christ being full of the Spirit. The Bible is very clear that we are to be full of the Spirit of God. The song that we sang just a little while ago, that was also a new song to me. What a song about the fact of the Spirit of God having control of our life. That's what revival is all about. So tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to think about what it is that caused the Spirit to be quenched or grieved in the life of Jacob. I think the first thing that we'll notice tonight is found right here in our text in chapter 37. When we read the story, I want you to write down this thought or put it in your mind that the Spirit was quenched or grieved because of misplaced affections. I want you to think about Jacob for just a moment, because Jacob had a problem in his life of misplaced affections. If you can remember back in the early part of his life, go with me back a little further into Genesis and chapter number 26 for just a moment. Genesis chapter number 26, and let's read in verse number 39. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 39. Let's read here for just a moment. That's not going to be right, because verse 29, there we go. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 29. And it says, I got to get my eyes right on the right page. Isn't it terrible when you, how about chapter 25? That makes more sense. There we go. I'm saying, I know it's not, that's not the right verse, all right? And this is the story of Jacob in verse number 29. It says in chapter 25, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I'm faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I'm at a point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day,' and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob." Jacob had the wrong affection. In this particular story in his life, he was longing for something interesting enough that was going to become his, but it wasn't the time for him to have it yet. God had already said that Jacob would receive this blessing. And Jacob's longing for it, and so he has this misplaced affection that causes him to even mistreat his brother. And you know all the damage that happened, the hatred and all those things. And then later on, what is it? In the next chapter, in chapter 27 actually, when it's time for the blessing from his father. And remember the plan they devised? His mother came to him and said, you know, put on the animal skin and go into your father and pretend to be your brother. And he robbed his brother of that blessing also. Misplaced affections. If you go further on in his life, in Genesis chapter number 29, do you remember there? As he arrives, because he's fleeing the wrath of his brother, and he arrives at the house of his relatives, and he sees there a beautiful young lady. What was her name? Rachel. And once again, he desires to have her. So how long does he work for? 7 years. Now, don't misunderstand me. A godly wife is worth 7 years of labor, all right? But I think Jacob's affections were misplaced because his life was devoted to that one thing. And by the way, during this whole time of his life, you don't see Jacob praying about the birthright. You don't see Jacob praying about the blessing. You don't see Jacob trying to figure out, you know, what God wants him to do. You just see Jacob working and working because he has desires. You know how I know it was a misplaced affection? Because when he didn't get it, what did he do? He worked another 7 years. He was consumed with it. His life was revolving around that young lady. 7 years. 14 years. A misplaced affection. We know that because why was Jacob so attached to Joseph? Because when his wife died, he needed to put that affection someplace else. And he took that affection that he had for Rachel, his wife that he loved with, we might just say as well, all of his heart. And he took that affection off of Rachel and he placed it on his son Joseph. And Joseph became the favored son. And boy, the brothers hated him. Now Joseph deserved his father's honor because Joseph was righteous. Joseph did what was obedient. But his father had a misplaced affection. Now do you know these verses? If not, perhaps you ought to turn to them. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 5. A verse I quoted just a moment again, go. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Somebody says, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus repeated it, and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Could I ask you a question tonight? Where's your affection tonight? Where's your affection? What do you love with all your heart? What are you willing to die for? What are you willing to give all your time to? What are you willing to give all your energy to? What is it that consumes your thoughts? What is it that is always before you, and if you lost it, it would devastate your life? Maybe some people have already lost it. And their life was wrapped up in something, a job, a career, a desire, a plan, an ambition. I've met people who were married, had children, but something happened way back here in their life. And that event, ever since that event, their spirit has been quenched and grieved. Well, I didn't get to go off to college. My family, I had to work a job to help support the family as a teenager. Because we were poor, and I didn't get to go off and play sports, or I didn't get to go off to do this career, I didn't get to go on this thing, and really, it's been there all their life. It's created bitterness. It's created sorrow. It's quenched and grieved the Spirit of God. Listen to me. Jacob was 20 years in that condition. Bitterness is a terrible thing. And it creeps into our hearts because we get misplaced affections. Sometimes it's as simple as we didn't get the promotion at work. Well, come on. This is why people, we read in the news, you know, some guy goes crazy at work. You know why? Because he had misplaced affections. He had his desire. This was his passion. He had to have this. That's why in India, those kids committed suicide the other day. Misplaced affections. They had to be the top. They had to be the best. Misplaced affections. And it's in our churches in the world today where God's people don't have their affection, where their affection is supposed to be all on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is where our affection is supposed to be. Our eyes are to be placed upon him. And Jacob struggled with this. Could I ask you a question tonight, very seriously? Where is your affection? Do you have any bitterness towards God? Anger towards God? Why did God let this take place in my life? How come I didn't get to do that? How come I didn't get to be that? Misplaced affections. Go with me, if you would, back to our text again in the book of Genesis. We learned something else there from Genesis chapter number 37. Misplaced affections, loving anything besides God with all of our heart. Somebody says, well, how does that work then if I'm supposed to love my family, supposed to love my wife? It's very simple. When God has all of it, your love is then directed by him. And so you love the things that God says for you to love. And I sometimes am amazed at the things that we love are so temporary. How quickly we take God and replace him with idols. I mean, anything can become an idol, right? You know, people sometimes talk about the heathen in Africa and the heathen in India. But friend, there's a lot of heathen right here in Custer, South Dakota. Amen. You don't have to carve a stone, you know. My favorite thing when I'm preaching to children is to start describing idol worship. And, you know, if I'm in Africa, I use a god that's about this big, you know. And he's got white over here and black over here and white over here and black over here and white over here and black over here. And those kids look at me, you know, because they ain't seen no idols like that in their village. And I say, yeah, they take their little god and they drop him on the ground and they kick him during Sunday school and during church. And they go, oh, soccer. And they get it real quick. Yeah, because they know they're supposed to be in church. Amen. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Misplaced affections. Because when eternity comes, those gods won't help you. You won't cry out to those gods and find deliverance. I was thinking about the news I just read this afternoon. An up-and-coming football star got killed, young man. They said he was going to be one of the top five athletes, whatever. And a young guy back in Illinois got killed last night at a party. And I thought, I just wonder, you know, how many people, that was their God. And now it's taken away. I don't know if the young man was saved or lost. Misplaced affections. Careers, jobs, control our lives, don't they? Instead of saying, what does God want? It got Jacob out of whack for 20 years. We'll see some of the results of that in just a moment. But let's look at the second thing that we find, because it's an interesting thing in the scriptures. I know sometimes when I'm telling Bible stories, I have to remind myself to go back to the scriptures and not get the story wrong. And sometimes we talk about Joseph's brothers telling their father a lie. It's interesting, although they did lie, don't misunderstand me. We don't have in the scriptures that they went to their father and said, Joseph is killed by an animal. It's not what the text reads. Read it very carefully. Verse 32 of Genesis chapter 37. And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats, and they dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors. I don't think they could even stand before their father. And they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or not. So get the setting. They took Joseph's fine coat, and obviously there was only one coat of that. Like, we know there wasn't many of them. And they took it and they dipped it in the blood. They probably shredded it up. And they brought it to their father. It was sent in, perhaps by a servant. And the father looks at the blood-covered, shredded coat. And what does the father say? He says, he knew it and said in verse 33, it is my son's coat. Now look what he says. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. The brothers did not walk in and say, Father, Joseph was killed by an animal. and he's dead. All they did was show him the coat. And Jacob made a false assumption. And I want to tell you tonight, there are lots of God's people whose spirit has been quenched because of false assumptions. I'm going to tell you, this world is full of it, and it's full of it today because of the internet. Hear me tonight. We hear things, and we believe the wrong things. We make lots of false assumptions. This is how we used to illustrate in the old days, all right? Come up here, Devin, since you're sitting there looking at me, all right? And come up here for a second. And so Devin and I are standing here talking, and Sam, walk over to us. Hey, Devin, how are you doing today? Things are great, man. Hi, Sam. Nice to see you. And Sam says, they were talking about my big nose. Now, you're with me, right? Thank you. You guys will sit down. We'll talk about you later. Let me tell you something tonight. Do you know how many issues and problems in families and churches and the Spirit of God has grieved because of false assumptions? I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone. And they started talking to me on the phone about somebody else. And I said, just hold on. I said, do you know that? Well, that's what they think, he said. I said, did they say that? No. So you think you know what they think? Well, oh, come on. How many times have we been guilty of that with people? Well, they're just trying to hurt me. Have you ever said something to somebody and you didn't realize what you said hurt them? Oh, yeah. And you find out later on they haven't talked to you for weeks. And you're like, I didn't know. I didn't mean to hurt you. But you know why they were that way? Because of what? False assumptions. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a bigger problem than we want to admit. We get bumped. Oh, yeah, the preacher, he's talking about me. How do you really know that? I love it. Guy said, man, preacher, somebody must have told you all about me. You were preaching right at me tonight. I didn't even know you had that problem, but now I do. You made a false assumption. And that's what Jacob did here. They didn't come in and lie to him and say, oh, we found his dead body. They just sent the coat in, and he immediately said, an evil beast has devoured him. And from that time forward, guess what? The Spirit of God was grieved. Oh, how important it would have been if Jacob would have went to God and prayed. This is not the only time he had this problem in his life. Go back to Genesis chapter 31 for just a moment. Genesis chapter number 31. You remember, as he's been there with Laban and he's got the two wives, he's gotten all the cattle of Laban. God has truly blessed him, which is just a wonderful thing. God is so good in spite of our problems and our difficulties. And so God comes to him there in Genesis chapter number 31 and in verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. This is what God says. God says, you return, and I will be with you. Now, chapter 32 is a great chapter in the life of Jacob. If you understand it, the battle that took place there, we might say, of Jacob wrestling with God. Let's read just a little bit of it. In verse number 1, it says, and Jacob went on his way. So he's obeying God to this point. And the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of this place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, on the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my, notice what he says here, unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Jacob, you know what he's doing here? He's not trusting God. God said, return and it'll all be okay. But he's down there saying, you go tell Esau, my lord. Isn't that funny? Because he's the one that took the birthright. He's the one that took the blessing. He's the one that has the prophecy. But now he's saying, go tell him, my lord. And the messengers return in verse 6, and Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau. And notice what they said. And also he cometh to meet thee and 400 men with him. Look at verse 7. Then was Jacob greatly afraid and distressed. Why was he greatly afraid and distressed? Because of false assumptions. His brothers got 400 men and he's thinking, oh, great God, you said come on back, everything's okay. Doesn't look to me like it's okay. And so Jacob makes his plan. You know, he puts his least favorite out and keeps his favorite to the last. And Jacob is all back by himself. And that's where we have the story of Jacob wrestling with God that night. And it's at the end of that time when Jacob is wrestling with God that God calls him Israel and has power with God. False assumptions takes place in your life. I wonder tonight how many times that you and I have done the same thing. By the way, Jacob still struggled with learning it, because even in chapter number 33, when he meets his brother, Esau comes to him in verse 8 and says, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And this is what Jacob says. These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And I love verse number 9. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Esau had more together than Jacob at this point. Jacob's still going, my Lord, my Lord, your servant, my Lord. Here's all this gift. And Esau says, I have enough. And what does Esau call Jacob? His brother. Because God already had it all worked out. Could I say something tonight, friend? We get too stressed and distressed about too many things because of false assumptions. But what if this? What if that? What if this? What if I do what God says and this happens and this happens and this happens? You know, quit worrying about the what if and just do what God says. Quit worrying about everything else. Well, I don't know. Here's a big one. If I go tell that person about Jesus, they might get angry at me. And so that false assumption keeps us from what? Talking about Jesus Christ. Does it not true? But what did God tell us to do? Go teach all nations. And so if the Spirit of God is telling you to do something, stop making the false assumptions and just do what God says. Okay? God tells me to go to Zimbabwe. Ah, nobody's going to come. Nothing's going to happen. I have a choice to make, right? I either trust what God says or I don't trust what God says. I told you the first story so you can understand I don't always trust what God says. And God has to take the wheels off sometime and say, aren't you going to trust me? Why don't you just do what God says? But we make so many false assumptions. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. Don't we believe that? And I know you believe it. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody tonight. I know you believe that. But do you see the battle we face? By the way, we're no different than Jacob. And we've got to be careful or we'll end up like Jacob. 20 years. Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together, right? For good to them that what? Love God. But when we get to making false assumptions, we stop trusting the Lord, we get bitter, we get angry, we get out of sorts with God, we assume the worst instead of looking up and seeing what God's going to do, and we fall into the state of Jacob, a quenched and grieved spirit. By the way, I don't think I'll take the time to read it, but sometime you should study the chapters that took place in the life of Jacob during this time. Chapter 34, I don't think we'll read it tonight because it's long, but it's one of the most horrible chapters in the Bible. When Dinah, Jacob's daughter, went out to see the daughters of the land. And everything took place during that time period. And Jacob was not the father he was supposed to be. During this time period, for 20 years, he doesn't direct his children. He just lets life live. And terrible things. He has to flee. He can't even stay in the land because he stinks in the land. And now they come to the famine. And when the famine comes, does Jacob do anything to help his family? No. It's his sons that finally come to him and say, Dad, we got to do something. There's corn in Egypt. And Jacob says, whatever, go do it. And God's people get that way when the spirit is quenched. Well, whatever, just go to church, read my Bible, whatever, pray, whatever. It's almost like they've given up on life. Depression, anger, wrath, bitterness begins to brood in our heart. And God is not pleased. Go back to Genesis chapter 37 and look at the last thing that I noticed in our text here. Because in verse 34, after he made his false assumption, it says, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. I've often wondered what would have happened had he prayed and sought God. But verse 35 says, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. Now, let me just say this. I obviously understand that the son's greatest comfort could have been to come to Dad and say, Dad, he's not dead. We sold him as a slave. And obviously they didn't do that. But I want you to notice the last part of verse number 35. It says, but he, Jacob, notice this, refused to be comforted. And he said, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. The Bible says there in Genesis 37, verse number 35, he said, I refuse to be comforted. You have that in your mind right now? Misplaced affections, not loving God with all his heart, loving anything besides God. False assumptions. And then he refused to be comforted. Go to the New Testament for just a moment. John chapter 14. For 20 plus years, Jacob lived in that state of no comfort. His family fell apart. His sons got exceedingly wicked. Many difficulties. The famine came. And it didn't have to be that way. But it was because he refused comfort. John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus Christ. In verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what's that word there? Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Look over in John chapter 14 again, look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, get this, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Look at John chapter number 16, verse number 7, down into verse number 11. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the princes of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Jacob refused to be comforted. Could I say tonight that we can do the same thing? You see, if you're saved, you have inside of you the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is able to lead you into all truth. He's able to teach you in all things. He's going to convict you of sin, all right? We don't like that, but he's going to. He's going to teach us about righteousness. He's going to speak about judgment. And you have a choice. You can listen to the Comforter, or you can say no. And as long as you say no to the comforter, there's no revival. You just live your life. The question is, how long will you live that life? How many days, how many months, how many weeks, or how many years will you choose to live like Jacob? My heart's desire is that we would reach the point and place in our life that we would say, I don't want to live 1 second like Jacob. I don't want to live a moment like Jacob. I want to live as one that has power with God. But boy, I live in a world where I'm attacked and this happens, and my love is constantly pulled away. This old flesh of mine, it loves a lot of things it shouldn't love. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ, nailing this flesh, this old man, to the cross with its lust and what? Affections. Oh God, help me to love you with all my heart, all the time. I live in a world where I find myself thinking things I shouldn't think. I live in a world where I find myself assuming things I shouldn't assume. Sometimes assuming things about others, sometimes even assuming that God is going to fail. But God doesn't fail. And oh, how I need to learn to lean on Him all the time. And I know that I don't do it all the time. I know there are times when my heart has taken the affection and taken it from God and placed it on idols. I know there are times when my thinking is getting wrong. Now I have to make a choice. What do I do when the comforter comes? What do I do when the comforter says to me, excuse me, preacher, you're supposed to love God with all your heart. Excuse me, preacher, why are you worried about that? Aren't you supposed to be trusting me? Why are you so stressed? My daughter, Bethany, used to have a shirt, always says, too blessed to be stressed. And the Spirit of God says to me, are you going to listen to me or refuse me? And when I refuse him, guess what? Just like Jacob. But when I say, okay, Lord, I hear you. Wow. The Spirit is revived, and I'm like Israel, power with God. And that's the same for every one of you tonight. What does the Spirit of God say to you in your heart? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me this evening? Father in heaven, Lord, we are flesh, we are clay. And God, we are no different than Jacob. When we live in a world of ambitions and desires and plans and schemes, and Father, it's so easy to get captivated into it, working our own way, doing our own things. And Father, it sure turns upside down. It sure doesn't turn out real well, even though it looks like sometimes things are going good. And Father, the amazing thing is that you bless us in the middle of it, Lord. Well, just like you did bless Jacob. But God, truly, your desire was for him to lean upon you. Your desire was for him to place his life totally in your hands, God, and be who you wanted him to be. Father, and I pray you would speak to us, Lord, as only your Spirit can. God, that you would go among our hearts and, Lord, you would nudge us, you would convict us, you would comfort us with truth. And Father, you know the needs, Lord, tonight of every person. God, you know the schedule of the week, you know the plans, you know what we can or cannot do, you know what's going to be tomorrow and the next day. And God, help us simply to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of our heart. Let it be for you. We ask this in your precious name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. An invitation is the time between you and God. I'm asking Mrs. First to play as she plays a song of invitation. and God has spoken to you, you can find a place and kneel and pray, and sit in your seat and pray, whatever. But would you take some time and respond to what God wants in your heart? Would you yield to him? Would you talk to him about those needs? We'll just stand very quietly to our feet, give people an opportunity. Maybe you feel like God would have you to come and kneel and pray and just spend some time with him. I would challenge you to so do. If the Spirit of God is prompting you, then do what he says.
All right. I just want to, if you look at the paper for a moment, praise the Lord for that reminder and that message tonight. If you don't mind, and I'm not trying to make it a better sermon, but it's interesting, if you go to chapter 47 and verse 9, Pharaoh asks Jacob in verse 8, how old are you? In verse 9, Jacob says, I'm 130 years old, and few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers. He says, I'm 130 years old, and I haven't had a very good life. But a lot of it's his own doing. And what was said earlier tonight is so true. A lot of people are wallowing around because they haven't gone back and dealt with something from years gone in the past. There's just something way back when that needs to just be admitted to, confessed, and called what it is. And as was said tonight, Dinah paid for it. What do you think caused the bitterness between the brothers? Mm-hmm. It was the fact that he was never happy with his marriages. But you know what's interesting? In chapter 40, later on in chapter 47, at the end of chapter 47, he tells Jacob, I want you to bury me in a certain place. And then you get to chapter 49. Here's what I think is really interesting. In chapter 49, he tells Joseph, at the end of chapter 49, I want you to bury me with Leah. Now you think about that. You think maybe God was trying to tell Jacob, I know what's best for you.
Right.
You don't need to work 14 years. I'm giving you the way. You're so dumb, I'm going to just help you out by having your father-in-law trick you. He said, I want you to bury me with Leah. See, God wanted him to have the birthright and all that because that was prophesied way back before. But he just tried to help God out and he messed a lot of stuff up. And then he got his eyes on a woman and he got his eyes off and he just got... And the message is so appropriate. And he gets to the end and he says, my life's not been a great life. And it's just a lot of it's his own undoing. And those boys hated each other because of it. And Joseph suffered because of it. And Dinah suffered because of it. We need to just allow God to show us. And don't you know, he'll show us. He'll remind us. Have you ever just all of a sudden had something pop in your head and you hadn't thought about for years?
Yeah.
I think that's God saying, I want you to think about this for a little bit. And get things squared away from way back where. Instead of continuing to carry a bitterness and a lack of comfort and a focus that isn't godly. So praise the Lord for that message tonight, and I appreciate the preacher bringing it to us and help us. I'm going to ask God to help us to all contemplate on that the rest of this evening and this week. All right, well, hopefully your heart is clear and you are ready to go home and contemplate on that. And if not, that you'll get right with God in the very near future. And that's why these stories are in here. And I do think that Jacob was right with God at the end. He got revived. And I think after a while, he probably sat there and looked at all his grandkids and looked at everything and realized, and looked like, wow, I wallowed in misery and I didn't have to. I thought my kid was dead and God was using him greatly, you know. And the devil just likes to mess with us and keep us wasting decades. So let's let God help us overcome that. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the message. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded and to be encouraged and strengthened. And thank you for an outsider coming in and preaching and teaching to us so that we can hear from you and we can see ourselves and we can see where we are guilty of these things. And we don't trust and we don't practice Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we make bad decisions and faithless decisions. Help us to not waste years. And Lord, help us to not be so proud. We can't just admit and retrace steps and call it what it is. And help us not to waste our family's years either. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing already in our lives this week. Help us to be able to be back here to hear more from your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.